The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of The Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
Back from a quick weekend in NYC. Stocks break weekly winning streak and the Senate releases their tax bill. All this and much more on episode number 534 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Well, hello and welcome. Andrew Horowitz here. I am the host of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Thanks for joining me. We're a little bit late this week and giving the all clear, ready to go publishing of this podcast, but it's because I just literally flew in and landed just a few minutes ago, dropped a few things off, came back to the office to talk to you about what's going on. Probably have a bit of a shortened version of the show this week because it's getting a little bit late, but I did want to spend some time with you talking about what has been going on and what is on tap for the week to come. Well, we do know that New York City is still thriving. I got to tell you, it is an amazing place if you haven't been back. I'm from there originally, and I went up there to spend some time with my daughter. We'll probably talk about this on DH Unplugged at length, but went out to Sammy's Romanian restaurant. I haven't been there since the 1980s, probably. And it's pretty much the same as it was. Not much was done to the place. However, they started with bottle service now, and they have a little show that goes on. And it was, let me just say, it was quite an evening with the food and the vodka and all the things. If you haven't had an opportunity to go to Sammy's, I encourage you to do so. Went down to Chinatown, had a lot of fun down there. Went uptown as well to some really great restaurants. I tried to spend some time at the White Truffle Festival, but I just couldn't get a restaurant on my radar that was really available. So, and I didn't know about it until I actually got into New York that the White Truffle Festival was going on. But I did want to do some of that. There was all these restaurants that were participating and will be participating, if you're up in the area, over the next week or so. And they're doing all sorts of dishes that include truffles or maybe just shaving some on pizza or infusions with oil. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on there. But something I really would encourage you to check out. But anyway, I will say that if there's no inflation in the world, it's all concentrated in New York. I mean, the prices of things there, the taxis, the subway prices, everything seems to go up every single time I go there. And it's pretty amazing how people live there with the price of apartments and condos and houses and transportation and food. Everything is really expensive. You know this. It's no surprise to anybody, especially anybody that's visited there. But for those that live there, obviously know what's going on. And you have on top of that, the incredible amount of taxes that you pay when you live there. So I think that, again, it's all depending on where you're living, where your world is at, how things look. And there's clearly a lot of opportunity, growth, stretching out, not only from Manhattan into Long Island City, Staten Island, Brooklyn, the Bronx, everywhere around is seeing an incredible boom in the area. And but at the same time, you're seeing a significant amount of pricing appreciation, also known as inflation. So there is something going on there. Well, let's talk a little bit about what went on last week. We did see that markets did, in fact, have a negative week across the board. We saw that due to a lot of different reasons, maybe some of them being the uncertainty about some of this tax code. The Senate put out their version of their bill, which will now have to go and be voted on, and we'll have to see what happens when it is then compared with the House and negotiations go on and what comes out of this. We really don't know at this point what's going to stay, what's going to go. We have the Congressional Budget Office coming in with some scoring and how much it's going to either cost or how much it's going to create. And a lot of things are going to be going on. But one thing is for sure that you're going to see a lot of politicking about this, how great it is. You know, we're going to see this wonderful tax plan, even though the Senate at this point right now is, it looks like, holding off in their plan the 20% corporate tax rate until 2000 and at least 2018, maybe 2019, about a year delay in all this. But some of this uncertainty about what's going on in that plan and whether or not there's going to be enough votes to carry it really caused some consternation in markets. We saw that the S&P fell about 0.21%, not a whole heck of a lot. We saw that the NASDAQ was also down about the same. The Dow is down about 0.5%, but the more sensitive sector, the small caps to taxes, was down about 1.31% for the week. Now, we did see, interestingly enough, if you remember, I talked about, oh my gosh, the VIX is sub 9. I was like, wow, that's pretty intense. Well, we did see a kickback, rising about 24% for the week, up to about 11.25 by the end of the week. The VIX, the volatility, the fear gauge, whatever you want to exactly reference it at, started to creep back higher, even with a small amount of losses seen. So we're talking about 20 basis points or 30 or 40 basis points on markets, and the VIX really spiked up from a very low base. Still very low. I mean, a VIX of 11.5, let's call it, that's low. That's showing that there's still a lack of concern, a lack of fear, a lack of worry by investors, creating an opportunity that if you do think there is going to be some rollover potentially into the end of the year, that maybe looking at some VIX options to hedge out your portfolio would be a good idea. The problem is that for every time we've seen this VIX rise into the, you know, into the 11s, the 12s, maybe even the 13s, within, I don't know, days, it's back down to the 10 level. There really hasn't been a good opportunity. The opportunity has been, and has been for the last year or so, maybe even 2 years, is to short volatility. That's been the play. To go against the grain of, well, we're going to use this as a hedge in a portfolio to maintain a fully invested portfolio and maybe hedge out some of the risk. There has been no risk really to hedge out. Every time we see any kind of a drop, an immediate pickup, or at least a flattening out of where we saw those losses happen, has created an opportunity for those that short the VIX to buy puts or to short calls, have been pocketing and banking pretty well. We'll see what happens into the next week as we're getting more information about some of the tax bill and some more economics that will be coming out this week. As a matter of fact, let's talk about earnings, because that has been the major driver along with some of this tax discussion. But the driver clearly over the last number of weeks has been earnings. And as of the end of last week, about 87% of the S&P 500 companies have already reported and finally put in their numbers for the third quarter. Now, Zacks Investment Research shows that about, I think it's close to 73% have actually done better than expectations, and about 67% have gone and actually posted revenues that were above analyst expectations as well. We see a growth rate of the companies within the S&P 500 that are the growth rate of their earnings at 6.8%, and revenues rising about 6.2%. That's pretty good. So the expectation for earnings for the quarter is about 6.2%, so that's better. Year over year, we're seeing 5.7%. Now, the only problem with that is it doesn't necessarily balance out and reconcile with the amount of move of the markets themselves. So if we're seeing about a 6.5% increase in earnings over the period compared to last year, we're seeing the stock market up about, let's call the S&P up about 19% over the one-year basis. The NASDAQ about 29%, the Dow up about 24% on a year, not year-to-date, but over the year, last 12 months. And if we're only seeing about a 6 or 7% increase in earnings, something doesn't match. And that's why we're seeing that there's an overvaluation reading on a technical basis and a fundamental basis. And a lot of that probably is due to the fact that extra quadrant of where the gain has been, we have to say it has to be two things. First, the good news on the economic fronts, good hiring, good manufacturing numbers, confidence numbers, but also because of the fact that we're seeing that there is the potential for some kind of tax deal to come through. And if that's going to be the case, because of course we know markets are a forward discounting mechanism where they look ahead, not really in the rearview mirror. What is the expectation in the future? Well, if there is the expectation that we'll see this kind of earnings, but also topping on or adding to the top of that, that we're going to have a 20% tax rate. Well, that's what's happening. The opportunity is that, well, maybe we're going to see about a 3% increase in the earnings, and that's about 10% over the next several years that will be going, and therefore we are discounting it back, and that's probably where that number starts to reconcile out. However, if now all of a sudden that tax bill is delayed in that, whether or not it's going to pass or not, we're seeing that the potential for that reduction of corporate tax rate down to the 20% level is only going to starting 2019. Well, how are markets going to deal with that? How are we going to show this in numbers? Because we're way ahead of ourselves at this point. Now, of course, that carrot, the fact that that is there, will stay for a while. That's good news. Maybe that's why they're doing it. Hoping to dangle this sometime in the future that says, hey, we'll be here. You don't have to worry about it. And therefore keep this run going for a time period more. Now, what they're saying is that they don't want to have the budget blown out, you know, by having a time period that we're going to wait to implement this. We'll see how much more growth we can get out of the economy until then, offsetting some of the costs of this reduction in personal and in corporate income taxes, because there's a giant hole in the budget if this tax deal goes through in the trillions of dollar range, trillions with an S. And therefore, they're really not looking forward to having this kind of a deficit kind of spending going on. So that's going to be a big issue right now, and it's going to be debated over the next couple of weeks. We'll have to see how this plays out. But you know what? Even with that, we're still seeing that even though there was a small decline in the University of Michigan's monthly gauge of U.S. household sentiment last week, the number that we saw in its initial November poll dropped down to about 97.8. Expectations were for about 100. It's still at a 13-year high. There's a lot of positive thinking going on from a consumer basis and, of course, from a market base. So, the other thing that happened last week that was kind of interesting was all this news about what's going on in Saudi Arabia with the purge, which we talked about on DH Unplugged, and the whole trying to ramp up the price of oil, I believe, due to the fact that they are desperately looking to get this Aramco IPO off and out there. We did see that oil was very strong last week on the heels of all this Middle East conflict or whatever's going on there. There's all sorts of weirdness going on. And we saw that it was actually the highest level in about 2 years, closing at about 56.67 on Friday. Now, what do we have to look at for next week? So Monday, Tyson Foods, we're going to see earnings from pretty much nothing in the economic front. We have October producer price index, so the wholesale inflation on Tuesday. Beazer Homes coming out as well. The home builders have been doing pretty well. They've been getting a little bit whipsawed with some of the tax discussions going on. Retail sales are going to be out also in the mid part of the week, and CPI on Wednesday. And I don't know if you've been watching some of these retailers. It's been a really interesting move lately on these retailers as we're seeing that JCPenney and Sears and Macy's kind of had a really big turnaround toward the end of the week, as I think investors are either being, the shorts are being squeezed, or there's some hope that these things aren't just going to die off into the sunset into the future. But we're going to see retail earnings coming out and a couple other companies coming out on Wednesday, Cisco, NetEase, Target. Target's my favorite retailer out there right now. Thursday, we're going to see reports on initial jobless claims, which probably be in that same 230,000 to 40,000 range. October industrial output coming on as well. Now we see Best Buy, Gap, Viacom, and Walmart on Thursday as well. Now Friday, we're going to see housing starts and building permits from the Census Bureau. So that kind of wraps up the week. But I'd be watching Target as something that I want to look at very closely. Best Buy has been really holding up very well in the face of the fact that the last quarter they missed and the stock seemed to pop right back up pretty well. So that's something to be really keeping a keen eye on, I think, right now. So Target and Best Buy are on the list of things that we'll be watching, and retailers in total. So we'll see how that plays out. I do think, though, that some of this is, just to get back to this retailer, some of this is a bit of a short squeeze. Some of the numbers that we saw come out, you know, it's kind of a technical algo-driven type of situation where we are seeing these things bottom out, rest a little bit, and then get popped up, because there is a lot of short sellers that are in these names right now. Probably one of the most shorted areas in the markets right now is the retailers, with the thought that, you know, Amazon just ate everybody's lunch, and then you got Walmart and Target on top of it, and Costco that kind of are looking a lot better. But anything below that, especially the big box companies and the big box sellers that are seeing store closures and restructurings and people just not visiting, they're hurting. And people are pressing their bets on those. And now that we see some of the turnaround, those shorts get squeezed. Now, what you want to look for in this to see if this is a move that is truly a bounce off the bottom rebound and a situation that can be sustained is simply waiting a few days and watching the technicals to see if there's going to be a rollover. If there's a rollover, you know there was a short squeeze and the shorts are then reapplying. If we break above any key resistance points, that again will be the potential for a short squeeze. But I don't think fundamentally anything has really changed. There's an opportunity clearly to get in on some of this. If it is even the simplest of a non-fundamental short squeeze, well, there's great opportunity. But just be aware that it is something that you have to watch carefully, because if you get to a point where there is resistance and it doesn't break through, what ends up happening is that those shorts attack pretty hard. And particularly with an area like the retailers that have been under pressure for a very long time. On the other hand, you could say, well, there's blood in the streets. And when there's blood in the streets, it's probably the best time to buy for long-term holding. I recently picked up some GE, and we're looking at that as a long-term hold because there is an opportunity. There's a big meeting on Monday coming up where they're going to talk about potentially cutting their dividend and a bit of a restructuring plan. We'll have to see how that plays out before more money can be applied to this. But if there is any kind of good news that comes out of this, with the beating, the shellacking that GE took over the last several months, there's an opportunity for that company also to pick up. There's been some talk recently about GE actually being removed from the Dow Jones Industrial Averages. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, this is the oldest name from the original Dow Jones Industrial Average that's still in it. But because of the low price and because of the way the stock's been acting, it does have the potential for being on the edge of being removed from the index. Right now, since it's a price-weighted index, a price of about $20 on GE doesn't really have a big bearing on the index anyway. However, I just don't know if they're going to go ahead and pull the trigger on that, because it is the last remnant of what the industrial average was and meant to be, a conglomerate, an industrial. We've seen so many changes over the years with the Dow Jones Industrial Average in terms of the components and constituents that are inside the actual index, that you have to wonder if there is some, just a small amount of desire to keep the last remaining hope of of what the index was originally constructed to be in the index, if nothing else, for just sentimental purposes. We'll have to see about that. We'll be watching all of this and, of course, listening on DH Unplugged. I told you it's going to be a short show this week. I just wanted to get something out there, say hello. Thanks for all the great emails, by the way. And if you do have any emails, if you have any questions that you want to ask me, any comments, just go over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com and click on the Ask Andrew button and just ask away. We'll get your question and answer it as soon as possible, either on the show itself or on directly through email if it's not appropriate to maybe, maybe it's a little bit more personal. And I'll mention we have only a few of the challenge coins left at Investology. I told you that the first number of people that we have that will actually open up an account, fund their account, go through the whole risk tolerance measurement, create their portfolio, their models, go through all this really cool structure of setting it up. We'll get a not only a challenge coin that we had specially made, be a limited edition challenge coin, but also we'll receive a personally signed copy of the Disciplined Investor book that I put out. So if you want to do that, go over to investology.com and do all that work. And I think you'll be very happy that you did so. All right, we're going to end it here. Like I said, a short show. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contains forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.